Father, would you be that for us this morning? Would you be our vision? Would you be our delight? Would you allow us just to take joy in who it is that you are and what you've done by sending your Son on the cross to die for our sins, that we can be reunited with you, that we can rejoin you in heaven and just spend eternity worshiping, glorifying, and praising your name. And so, Father, as we dive into your message today, as we dive into your word, would you continue to allow us just to grow more in love with you, continue to learn how to love you better, and continue just to be better reflections of your Son, that as we train ourselves to be better disciples, that ultimately, again, we bring more people to be your disciples and seeing something that they're missing in their lives and seeing something that they want in their lives, and they realize that that thing that they want is you. Would you continue to allow us to exude that from the deepest parts of our heart, the deepest parts of our souls? Would you allow us just to continue to reflect you, to continue to expose you in the actions we take, in the words we speak, in the way that we think, in the way that we do? Would you continue just to be that within us? And so, Father, again, I just pray over your word. I pray over this time. Would you continue to use me as a vessel, to use me as something that just continues to express only the words that you have in store, only the things that you have to say? And again, just allow you to be glorified through everything. And so we take this time, we praise you and offer all this up in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys may be seated. So in doing some research for this particular topic, I found myself getting, quite frankly, off topic every now and again. It was kind of hard to stay focused, and I often just kind of found myself looking through memes because it kind of related a little bit. And so in that, I thought I'd just go ahead and spend a little time showing you a couple of my favorite ones that I thought were just particularly amusing here, so you can be distracted along with me here. So the first one that I have here was this one. It says, studying a few minutes every day. It's like, nah, but studying for 30 hours one day before the exam, like, that's the way to go, right? And then the second one I hear, studying, like, ain't nobody got time for that. Like, that just wasn't something we were up for. And then this one's like, I'll start studying at 7, and then I say to myself, 7:01 is like, you missed your chance. I have to start now at 8. And I can't say how many times I felt like I did that when I was in school, but, you know, it's maybe not the best way to do it, but it's something we've thought before. Here's one that says, when you ask your teacher what you have to do to get an A in class, and she says studies, and you have that popular moment from Lord of the Rings. All right, then, you keep your secrets then. And I think I have two more here. It's like when your friend comes to study group actually looking to study, and you're like, we don't do those things here, right? And then this was the last one I had, studying for finals, calculating the grade that I need to get on the class in order just to pass. I don't know how many of y'all did that. I did that a lot more than I probably should have. It was like, okay, if I have this grade right now, if I at least get a C on the final, I'll pass the class. And so that determined how much was I actually going to study. So maybe, again, not the way I'd recommend, but, again, something that I think we've perhaps done before. Now, actually, this last one is a little bit opposite of what we're kind of looking at, and says, they say studying is awful. False. Studying is the greatest experience anyone could ever have. And I don't know if you noticed the theme in all of these things, but studying was kind of the idea behind all of these memes and going through them. And if you haven't been with us, or if you're just joining us, or if you haven't been with us for a while, we've been going through this series called Disciple in Training. And what we've been looking at is looking at different spiritual disciplines, looking at different things that we can do in our lives that just bring us closer to God, that when we practice them, when we do them, they not only bring us into a closer relationship with Christ, but it brings Christ closer to us, quite frankly. And so what I wanted to do before I dive into this one, if you haven't figured out, today we're going to be looking at the spiritual discipline of studying God's word. We're going to be looking at what it means to study biblically. But before I wanted to get into that, what I want to do is just take just a minute just to review kind of some of the things that we've gone over, in particular of what does it mean when we do these spiritual disciplines. And so the first thing that I wanted to mention over again was that as we go through these spiritual disciplines, that these spiritual disciplines aren't the way to salvation, right? You don't practice these things in order to be saved. You first come to faith by grace through God in Jesus and belief in his Son. And in that belief, you then practice these disciplines. Your faith leads you to salvation, and in your salvation, you practice these spiritual disciplines to grow more Christ-like. The second thing I wanted to remind you guys is that we don't do these spiritual disciplines as a means just to get through them as quickly as possible. It's not a checklist that we want to get through. But instead, again, it's something we want to take our time with, and it's something that we want to dwell with God well with. So again, if you're fasting, that again, you don't count down the minutes until your fast is over so that you can eat again. But instead, when you feel that pain of hunger, it should remind you of who or what you're fasting about and how you can pray for him or her or what it is that you're praying for. That if you're serving, if you're trying to serve better, that when somebody gives you something to serve as, you don't complain about it. You don't look for ways out of it, but instead you serve joyfully. Again, especially applicable in the one we look at today, that when you're studying in your Bible, you're not looking down to see how much longer do I need to read to finish off this chapter, this book, or whatever it is. But again, you take time and you enjoy every word that you read, every sentence that you finish. You just dwell with that and you let that enrich your soul. And so again, we're going to dive into this one and see what does it mean for us to practice this discipline of studying and how does this bring us ultimately closer to God. And so what I always wanted to do with all of these, quite frankly, is to start off with definitions. I wanted to give us what does it mean to actually biblically study. Because I feel like if we don't ever define our terms, if we don't say what it is that we're doing, then when we get far down the road, we can find out that we're actually on two very separate roads. And so I want to define, what does it mean for us to biblically study? And this is the definition that comes from Donald Whitney, and I'll kind of get to another quote from him in just a second. But he says, to study is to engage ourselves with the written word of God so that we can be instructed by it. And I would even add to that and say that it's not just to be instructed, but again, so that we can thrive in it. That it's as we study God's word, we don't just get instructed on how to live our lives, but it's how we can live our lives to the fullest. And so again, as we look through this, as we start to study through this, again, I wanted to look at something that Donald Whitney said about why we study the Bible in general. And this is his quote coming from the book as well. It says, the purpose of the spiritual disciplines is the total transformation of the person. They aim at replacing old destructive habits of thought with new life-giving habits. Nowhere is this purpose more clearly seen than in the discipline of study. The mind is renewed by applying it to those things that will transform it. And sorry for the slide. I think we have a little bit of font differences, and that's a whole Mac PC kind of a thing. But that's a whole other issue. But again, what we're looking at here when we look at this particular quote from Donald Whitney is he's quoting something we went over last week of Romans 12:2. I think I have it here as well. Again, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what he's getting at. And again, we looked at this verse last week in terms of worship, that when we worship God, we're transforming our mind out of the things that we would glorify this world with, and instead we would glorify God ultimately. And what Donald Whitney is saying in this case is that when we study, we transform our minds, again, away from the things that we would find glory in, the things that we would find joy in this place. And ultimately, we end up finding joy in who it is that God is. And I think the best way we can look at this is, again, as we look towards the history of God, I think that tells you of who God is today. I mentioned this in a previous sermon as an illustration, but again, a lot of us, we tend to look towards Google, or we look towards Yelp, and we look through these reviews and we look through these old things that people have said in the past as a determination of whether or not I want to get something today. Do I want to visit this restaurant? Do I want to buy this product? I don't know. What have other people said about this product in the past? And based on their past history with this place or these products, that determines whether or not I think this product is going to be of good quality or if this restaurant is going to serve me food that I'll enjoy. When we study God's word, this is us looking at the past. This is us looking at God's history. It's looking at this person who has loved an imperfect people perfectly. And the more that we spend time studying God's word, looking through his Bible and reading through it, the more clearly we see this to be true of a perfect God loving an imperfect people perfectly. And so that's why we study the Bible. That's why we aim to spend time looking through God's word, is to see the history of how God loves us and ultimately how we can love God better. Now, what I wanted to do next was kind of dive into a couple passages, and really one in particular that kind of expands into three different points of just what it means for us to study and why we should study God's word. Now, we've gone through this in a number of different ways, and you've probably heard of this passage if you've been in the church for any point in time, but again, it's the story of when Jesus goes out and he's tempted by the devil in the desert. And this comes in a multitude of different passages. It's in the fourth chapter of both Matthew and Luke, and it's briefly mentioned in the first chapter of Mark. And I'll have it here on the screen, but just in the terms of time, instead of having to read through the entire passage, I'll kind of show bits and pieces. But again, it's in Matthew. This is going to be the first 11 verses. And so what we look at here as we go through this is the first temptation. When Jesus is taken out into the desert, the devil comes to him and he tells him, and he reads this and he says, if you are really the Son of God, just take these stones. You've been fasting. You're hungry. Take these things that are before you and turn them into bread. Make them food so that you can eat. And what Jesus does here is he doesn't just say like, no, devil, get away from me. He doesn't just say, I'm going to ignore you. I'm just going to reject you. But what he does is that he quotes passage, and he quotes specifically Deuteronomy 8:3. And he says that man does not live on bread alone, but he lives on the word of God. And then he continues in this narrative, and he talks into the next one. The devil then takes him up onto the holy city, onto this temple at the very highest point. And he says to him, just throw yourself off. You're on top of this temple. When you throw yourself off, God will send angels and he'll save you. And Jesus tells him, again, not just get away from me or you're wrong or I don't want to listen to you, but instead he quotes to him scripture. He quotes specifically Deuteronomy 6:16. And he says that we don't test God, that you don't put the Lord your God to the test. And what's particularly interesting about this one is if you notice when the devil is speaking there in verse 6, he says in a quote, on their hands they will bear you up. This is the devil quoting scripture to Jesus. This is him quoting a psalm to Jesus saying that when you jump off, God will save you. That God has said that he will save you. He is using scripture to quote things at you. And the point that I want to bring out here is that people will use scripture wrong. And it's the reason we study is so that we can know the right way that scripture is used. Right? And then the last thing that he goes into here is the devil takes him up to this high mountain, this highest place of places. And he says, look before you, Jesus. Look at these things that you can see as far as your eye can go. Everything that you see, if you would worship me, I will make you ruler of all of it. I will make you the owner of everything that you can see. And again, instead of saying, I reject you or you're the devil and you're evil or whatever it is, again, he quotes scripture. And he ends this one with Deuteronomy 6:13, saying that we worship God and we worship God alone. Again, the lesson that we learn from this entire passage is that the best defense against temptation, the best defense that we have against the devil isn't our own intuitions, isn't our own guts, isn't our own feelings, but ultimately it's the word of God. And we see this even echoed in the New Testament again when Paul comes and he talks about the armor of God. If you've been there, you've heard this kind of illustration before where you put on different parts of the armor of God to defend yourself against the devil. But ultimately, the only thing that attacks, the only thing that pushes the devil back in terms of an offensive way is the sword of the Spirit. It's the word of God is what it says. And so again, as we learn through scripture, as we study, the reason we do these things is to better equip ourselves to defend against the schemes of the devil. And you see this kind of played out in our society today, right? That if you're writing a paper, if you're scheduled to do something for work or whatever it is, they want to see that it's not just the things that you've come up with, but they want to see how you've quoted other sources, that you're required to have a certain amount of sources in order for your paper to be good, in order for it to be turned in to qualify for an A, right? They want to see how many other sources have you tapped into to make your paper legitimate, to make it not just something you made up by yourself. So if we're going through life, what better source would it be better for us to tap into when we're trying to make decisions? What better source to look towards than ourselves, than our friends, than the internet, than Instagram, than all of these pop icons? What better source is there to look in towards when trying to make a decision than the word of God itself, than the life-giving word that we have before us? So I think that's why we study. When we look to make decisions, when we look through times of trouble, when we don't know how it is that we should proceed, we look towards the word of God, not only to defend off the wrong decisions that the devil is tempting us to, but we look towards it to give us life, to bring us decisions that bring us closer towards him. And so the last thing that we end off here with today is, how do we study them? What are some tips that I would give you all? And as you dive into your Bibles, what should you do in order to study well? And the first thing I say is that you should plan. Again, there's a famous quote by Benjamin Franklin that if you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. Right? And that's kind of the idea here, that when you are looking to sit down and study, that you shouldn't just open up your Bible, just drop it and see where it falls and be like, that's where I'm going to read today. This is my devotional for today. But instead, that you should make a plan, and I'd really categorize this into three W's. When are you going to study? Where are you going to study? And what are you going to study? When you think of one, again, it can be whenever you feel is most consistent for you. Would it be when you wake up? Would you wake up 10 minutes earlier, 30 minutes earlier, so you can spend time studying? Do you think it's best for you to study when you get home from work or from school? Do you think it's best maybe right after dinner when you've at the most calm place in your kind of day in that day? Or do you think it's right before you go to bed so you can meditate on it? Whatever it is, you choose when you want to study. And then from there, again, you choose where you're going to study. Make it consistent. Are you going to study in your office at home? Are you going to study at a Starbucks? Are you going to go to a tea house somewhere? Where are you going to consistently study God's word? And then finally, what are you going to study? I'd recommend, if you haven't done this ever before, go through a gospel. See what it's like to read from chapter 1 to the end of the book and see how that feels to go through an entire gospel. And if possible, I'd even encourage, if you choose maybe one of the shorter ones, to even do that in just one sitting. See what it's like to read the entire gospel in one sitting and hear how God is speaking to you in that time. Again, think of it this way. If you don't be consistent, if you continue just to study a verse here, study a verse here, or you pick up a couple chapters here, or you pick up a couple chapters there. Imagine if you're watching your favorite TV show and you just decide, you know what, I don't have time for this right now. I'm just going to stop watching for a little bit. And you miss an entire season. And instead of going back and rewatching that season, you just pick up at the very next season. Right? There's massive character development that you've missed out on. There are giant gaps in the plot that you don't understand. That when you try to skip over a section to speed things by, instead of making things better, instead of saving time, you make things worse. You fail to understand what it is that they're trying to convey. And that's the same thing that happens when we do that in our Bible, when we choose to just look at certain verses from time to time, instead of just spending time studying God's word systematically and thoroughly. So make a plan, stick to it, and be consistent with it so that you can study well. The second thing I'd mention here is that you need to read with intention. And this is tricky because a lot of us, as we read and as we study, we're used to how we would do it in school, and you're looking to get through it as quickly as possible. You're looking to obtain as much information in as short a period of time as you can. And so when I say read with intention, this may mean that you have to slow down, that you don't read as much as you do usually, or even that you have to reread a section because maybe you read through a paragraph and you didn't understand it. Or maybe you read through a paragraph and you realized that halfway through your mind wandered off and you don't really know what you just read. All right, so again, read with intention. Reread things as you need to read. Ultimately, I would rather you spend an entire hour looking at five verses than reading through an entire book of the Bible, if that meant that you fully grasped and better understood what those five verses were trying to say to you. One way that I'd say is a good way to help you read with intention is every time you finish up a small section. And again, you can choose what this section looks like. Is it a paragraph? Is it the page breaks between each page that you turn to? Is it every section break that you find in your Bible? But summarize what you just read. If you read through five verses, 10 verses, or again, just a small section, reword that section in your own words so that as you're studying, as you're looking through, you can always go back and see, this is what I've learned. This is what I've learned from this section. And as I continue studying through, you can much faster remind yourself of the context as you're getting back into the scripture again. So summarize what you've just read in your own words so that you can refer to it as you study. The other thing I'd mention here is questions and answers. Q&A. As you're studying, if you don't understand something, look into answering that part of it. If you don't know what a word means, underline it and look it up later. If you don't understand what this phrase means, you know all the words, but you don't know what's being said, circle it and look it up. Pastor Hong Sung and I, we're trying to put down an online training course that you can spend to better get to know what the scriptures mean. And we're getting towards that. We want to roll that out to you as quickly as possible. We also want to make sure that it's the right program for you. But this just allows you just to study the word better. But ultimately, as you're studying on your own, You need to look towards ways that you can find questions that you have and find answers towards those. And one resource that I'd recommend along with it is to get a study Bible if you don't have one. You can see the context and the background that they lay out, and it's just richness and fullness of what you can understand that you didn't quite get when you first looked at it. Ultimately, the richness of your study is going to depend on how well you read with intention. How much are you intentionally reading to study God's word? And the last thing that I'd say that you should do here is that you should look for the application. With all of the Bible, there is always something that you can apply back to your own life. Again, there's a reason why they call it the living word, right? That when you read it and you see a new mercy, or if you're going through it and you see new grace that God has bestowed upon your life, or if you see the impact on it has of a new believer, you can see God's word living throughout different people and changing their ways and changing how they see things. So as you study God's word, look to see how God's word comes alive in you. Look to see how you can apply what you're reading, what you're studying into your life every day. Otherwise, it just becomes wasted space. It just becomes something that you've read and dumped and moved on to the next thing. So look for how you can apply God's word in your day-to-day life. So as we finish up here, the last thing I wanted to leave you guys with in looking at this discipline of study is love. That when you study, you should love. And the best way that I would illustrate this is the way that I have a relationship with my wife, with Brittany. In loving her, in wanting to continue to love her, I study her. And not in a creepy kind of like, I'm going to look through the bushes and watch what she's doing kind of way, but like in a way that glorifies her, in a way that brings her to better understanding of who she is. That I would spend time wanting to see what she likes and what she dislikes. That I'd want to see what she enjoys and what she doesn't enjoy. That as I continue spending time seeing what she hates and what she doesn't hate, what she knows and what she wants to do, what she thinks and what she feels, as I spend time studying her, what this allows me to do is to better love her, is to better pour grace upon her, is to better love her in a way that she wants to be loved, is to love her in the right way that respects her and honors her. I study her so that I can love her better. And as we study Christ, we should be studying our Bibles because we love Him, because we love who it is that Christ is, that we want to know Him better, that we want to know more of how He thinks and how He feels, that we want to know better of what He likes and what He dislikes, that we want to study Jesus because in studying Him allows us to better love Him and ultimately allows Him to better love us. Because I can tell you that Jesus has studied each and every one of us. That He knows who it is that you are. That He has known who you were before you were put into your mother's womb. That He knew who you were before you were ever in existence. And that He even died on the cross before you were even born. Before you could even speak His name, He has loved you and died for you. That is the God that we study. And that is the God that we love because He first loved us. So as we study His word, as we study Him, we love Him well. As we continue to learn more about Him, we love Him well. And as we continue to exhibit the characteristics of who Christ is, we love Him well. So as we go through our days, as you study your Bible, look for that. Look how you can love Him well. And as you love Him, He continues to love you more. Not because you've loved, but because He has always loved you first. So again, if you know of who it is that Christ is, continue to fall deeper in love with Him. Continue to learn more reasons why you love Him. And if you've never come to know Christ, then I plead before you, would you come to spend time studying His word? That as you look at His Bible, as you come and look at His scriptures, the only conclusion you will come to is that Christ loves you and that you want to love Christ. The last example I'll kind of give here is Lee Strobel. He wrote The Case for Christ, a very popular Christian book on apologetics, that he went around trying to disprove Christianity. He went around saying that my wife is a Christian, and I don't know why I don't agree with it, and what I want to do is study the Bible so I can disprove Christianity to her. And in studying his Bible, in looking through the word, in talking to experts, and talking to different people, he came to one conclusion, that Christ is real and Christ loves me. So I plead before you that if you don't know him, come to this conclusion. Spend time studying him and see the one thing that will always be true, and that Christ has always loved you and Christ yearns for you. So would you pray with me now? Father, we come before you and we plead that you just make that known to us. That if we don't know that you love us, would you continue to do that? Would you continue to just bring forth knowledge of who it is that you are? Would you continue to make known your goodness and your glory? And that, God, you are great and you are glorious, and that we worship you and that we love you. And that as we spend time in your word and as we spend time continue to better know who it is that you are, that you continue loving upon us, that you continue pouring your grace upon us, that you continue being the God that you have been and always will be. And that again, that you don't love us because we loved you, but that you have loved us because you have always loved us and you always will love us. No matter how far we go, no matter how many things we do wrong, that you will continue to yield towards us, that you will continue to bring forth and seek after us. So would you remind us of that, that as we study your word, as we dive into your passage, that we continue to see how it is that you love us, that we see how you love, and that we learn to love you more. So we take this time and just respond in worship, that we sing out of how great it is that you are. And so we pray these things and do these things in Jesus' name. Amen.